will ever receive another opportunity to hear from someone who will give them, faithfully give them the gospel. So we have to take the opportunities that are presented to us, because we don't know if we'll have another opportunity with that individual. Second objection: well, I don't like that type of work. And I understand, coming in on a Saturday morning, and the flesh doesn't like that type of work, especially not when, you know, you've had a few bad experiences on the door with people who give a very negative reaction, and you think, well, I don't want to put up with that today. Start out my Saturday morning with being yelled at by someone on the door. No, thank you. But that doesn't change the fact that we do have a scriptural mandate to preach the gospel. So get used to it and get on board with it. It isn't negotiable. We've been commanded, and he saith unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, the objection that usually comes from Christians is that we need to avoid being confrontational. They want to just share their faith in a sort of indirect and obscure way, but not actually preach the gospel. These Christians usually end up doing neither. And I recall Pastor Simeon giving the example of speaking to someone who said, "Oh, well, I don't like the way you're confronting people like this, you know." And Pastor Simeon said, "Well, how do you do it?" And she said, "Oh, well, I don't really do any soul winnings." "Well, I like my way better then." That's the point. These Christians who give the objection, it's too confrontational, usually don't do any sort of soul winning at all. They're not seeking to win the lost. And their response is, "Oh, well, people will see by my lifestyle that I'm a Christian, and, you know, that'll change them." The power is in the gospel. It's in the message of the gospel and the Holy Spirit working in that individual's heart. If all you ever do is speak nicely to someone, you're not giving them the gospel. You're not giving them the opportunity to make that decision whether they would accept or reject Christ. Next objection: well, evangelism, it's not my gift. And this comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And say, well, I wasn't given the gift of evangelism, so therefore I don't have to participate. So some would use this verse from Ephesians to argue that since they don't have the gift of evangelism, they don't need to evangelize. But we need to remember, in context, the verse is actually speaking of those who were given certain gifts for the perfecting of the saints. God gave these gifts to those who would be able to help the saints to grow. So the verse isn't teaching that only some should seek to evangelize. It's not saying, well, only some were given the gift of evangelism and that's their specific role, and they're the only ones who are to go out and evangelize. No, there are some, even today, who are particularly gifted in the area of evangelism. God has blessed them in that way. But that doesn't negate the fact that we've all been given the mandate to evangelize the world, regardless of our gifts. Okay? It's the responsibility of all of us to participate in evangelism. Next objection: well, I'm too busy with other things. And the first verse that came to mind was 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, "For ye are yet carnal." And that was probably partly speaking to myself in some ways. You know, like I said before, our flesh hates to participate in soul winning sometimes. You know, when we're presented with a good opportunity and a casual conversation with someone, and, you know, we're able to sort of share our faith with them, that's one thing, and we come away feeling pretty good. You know, praise the Lord, you know, for that opportunity. But when it requires us to go out and seek lost souls, not knowing what their response will be, that's when it's difficult. And the flesh says, "Oh, but look, Saturday morning is a great time to chuck the car in for a service, you know, or whatever it might be. You know, you've got other things you could be doing." The Christian, though, who has no time for soul winning, is a Christian who has lost his love for Christ. and is living for the things of this world. That's why I said, ye are yet carnal. Souls are dear to God, so it follows a heart for God is a heart for souls. The Christian who never seeks to win the lost is a Christian who is disobeying the command to preach the gospel to every creature. So whatever else you have going on, it cannot be blessed by God if it is holding you back from keeping this commandment. That's important. God is blessing those who are willing to follow his will, to keep his commandments, to do what he desires us to do. And if there's something that's keeping you from soul winning, from being a part of the work that is closest to the heart of God, then he's not going to be able to bless the other endeavours. So you need to find another time for those endeavours and put some effort into soul winning. Now put the next two objections on the page there together. Some people laugh at me and some people say hateful things to me. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, "For therefore we both labour and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is Saviour of all men, especially of those that believe." The word suffer, the context there, suffer reproach, it essentially means that individuals will mock you. They will be harsh towards you. They'll speak reproachfully towards you, in a sense. So we can expect that some people will respond both harshly and both mockingly. Okay? Secondly, mockingly, I should say. John chapter 15, verse 20 to 21. "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." So Jesus told us that we would suffer persecution and rejection at the hands of men. And that is exactly what we see around the world today. In many places, Christians suffer persecution even to the point of martyrdom. Is it truly that hard for you to suffer rejection by a work colleague or be made fun of for your faith when others die for their faith? You know, there are many people who are willing to die for their faith. But their love for Christ is so strong that they would die for his name's sake. But we're worried and we're completely, you know, knocked for a six when someone dares to make fun of our faith. You know, "Oh, I can't do this evangelism thing. People laugh at me. People say nasty things to me." And we, in a sense, we start taking on the world's philosophy of the victim mentality. "Well, you know, I'm the victim here, so I shouldn't have to go out and share the gospel because I've been, you know, cruelly treated." It's pathetic. It is. Especially when you consider that Jesus suffered on the cross for your sake. So why shouldn't you be willing to suffer for his name's sake? Is it unreasonable of the Lord Jesus Christ, to ask you to endure suffering on his behalf? Of course not. No, this is a reasonable sacrifice. The next objection: "I tried it, nothing happened." Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Just because you don't see immediate results doesn't mean you should give up. The farmer who sows his seed into the ground doesn't get to the end of the day and look across the field and say, "Well, nothing's happened, so I guess I'll give up and find myself another job." It sounds foolish to think of it that way, doesn't it? You know, if the farmer planted in the morning and got to the evening and went, "Well, I don't see any crops out there, so it mustn't have worked." He said, "No, everything comes in the due season. The harvest comes in the due season at the time God has appointed and not before. Be not weary." You know, we might not see immediate results, but you don't know at what stage that individual is at. Whether this is the first time the gospel seed has been planted, or whether you're just there to water it. But at some point, God knows that that individual will make a decision either to accept or reject Christ. And if that individual chooses to accept Christ, then we have the blessing of seeing the harvest reaped in due season. Seventh, people around here have already heard. People around here may have already heard the gospel, but if they haven't accepted Christ as their Saviour yet, then we need to keep challenging them about their need of Him. You know, just be persistent. The Bible commands us to preach in our Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So if you feel that people in this area have already heard, maybe it's time for you to go to Judea and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. There's always somewhere you can go and find people who haven't heard the gospel yet. So if you think, well, this area, Ingle Farm, we've been here a long time and we have door knocked every door around here, probably multiple times. I guess I'll give up. No. This is just Jerusalem. Don't stop here. If you genuinely think that there's no souls to be won locally, well, get your gospel shoes on and travel further. You might have to spend a bit more on fuel, but be part of the work. You know, it's the fact that people have already heard, that should not even come into your mind. There's always people out there who have not heard the gospel yet, who we could be reaching. Next objection. Well, there are already lots of churches in my area, so I guess that's work done. While the church is the pillar and ground of the truth and a lighthouse in our community, and while visitors to the church should be presented with the gospel, most people won't step into a church of their own accord. They need to be invited. That's where you come in. That's where I come in. We have to invite them. How often do people turn up at a church simply of their own accord? It's fairly rare. It does still occasionally happen, but it is fairly rare. But if we invite people along, they're far more likely to come. And particularly if it's someone that you know relatively well, they will feel a lot more comfortable coming through the door of the church if they know that they will know somebody here. So that's where we come in. It's personal contacts with individuals. God often uses us as individuals to reach those who we know. As we mentioned before, each Christian can reach different people. So the question is, who are the people that you can and should be reaching that no one else in the church can reach? You know, who are the people you know that you're the only one who's going to be given the opportunity, or at least as far as we know, the only one who's going to have that opportunity to present the gospel to that individual? You can't rely on other people. You know, well, I didn't share the gospel with them, so, you know, I'll just trust that at one point someone else will come along their path who will share the gospel with them. No. You share the gospel. You have that contact. You know that individual. Moving along, we've got to wrap things up a little bit early this morning, so. Page 310 there. I've tried to follow Brother Curry's example and put the page number up in the corner, but anyway, 310. The authority for soul winning. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Notice it says, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. So Jesus is saying, I have all power. And then he says, go ye. That's his commissioning us. So whose authority are we going in? We're going in the authority that is provided us as ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 10, verse 16. He that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. The believer who preaches the gospel is Christ's ambassador, and the listeners will be judged as if Christ himself spoke to them. So we have the authority of Christ when we go forward and preach the gospel in his name. We're going in the authority that he provides us as his ambassadors, his representatives on this earth. Thirdly, the power for soul winning. The power. The power for soul winning is not in the soul winning or in the soul winner. It resides in Christ and the Holy Spirit and the gospel. The work of conviction belongs to the Holy Spirit, John chapter 16, verses 7 to 11. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. So the work of conviction belongs to the Holy Spirit, and we don't know what is going on in each individual's heart, but that's not our job to know that, to work that out. Now, we can try to discern where an individual is at in their understanding of the gospel, but where their heart is at in relation to the reception of the gospel message, we don't know. But we know that the Holy Spirit is at work. He is always at work in each individual to convict them of their sin and their need of Christ, to draw them to the Saviour. The work of the Holy Spirit is to point the lost to Christ. Christ is enlightening and drawing all men. John chapter 1, verse 9. And John chapter 12, verse 32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. It is the seed of the harvest. The gospel is described in a nutshell in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 to 4. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. God calls men through the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, to appropriate God's power, we use prayer. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So when you go out to share the gospel, pray much, both before and after, and keep a list of unbelievers that you regularly pray for. We need the power of God when we go out soul winning. We can't do it in our own strength. If we go out on our own, in our own efforts, we know that there's power in the Word of God. But that alone will not change the heart of the individual. We need the Holy Spirit working in that heart. Okay? So when we go out, we need the Holy Spirit's power upon us to faithfully preach the Word, to empower our speech and to help us to be a faithful representative of Christ, to faithfully preach the word. We also need the Holy Spirit's work in the heart of the lost that we preach the gospel to. So pray much. So, in conclusion, while there are many good reasons for soul winning, our primary reason should be our desire to please Christ and to obey his commandments, because we love him and we want to please him, to be obedient to his word and his will. Secondly, the authority for soul winning comes from Jesus Christ, and we are his ambassadors on earth. So we go in the power that he provides, the authority that he provides. Thirdly, the power for soul winning comes from Jesus Christ and by the working of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of the lost. So next week we'll start into the section on the attitude in soul winning, but we'll leave it there for this morning. And I'll remind those in the choir that right after this we'll meet over at the piano for a quick practice. All right, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the study this morning, for just the opportunity to work through the lesson notes here and take some helpful thoughts away. Father, we pray that you'd help us as individuals to be faithful, to reach out to those who we know personally who need to hear the gospel. Father, we pray that you'd help us to not go in our own strength, but to rely on you to help us. Father, that we would go in the power that your Spirit provides as obedient ambassadors and representatives for Christ, we do pray. We ask for your blessing upon the morning service as well, particularly the baptisms there. Father, we pray for any lost souls who are here this morning, that they would receive a clear challenge from your word of their need of Christ, I do pray. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.